Phoenix Theater Company's annual Festival of New American Theater this year includes a trip to the Old West.
Well, this is the story of a woman named Josephine Sarah Marcus, who was a very well-to-do Jewish girl from San Francisco, actually by way of Brooklyn. Her family moved to San Francisco when she was 9 years old. And she was an unusual young woman because she didn't want really anything to do with her family and the background that she was being forced into.
That's Sheila Ray, a librettist, lyricist, and co-writer of The Belle of Tombstone. Ray wrote the story for the production with the playwright Thomas Edward West. It's about Josie Marcus, who Ray describes as a square peg in a round hole, not fitting in anywhere.
Can I sit around the house and do embroidery? Day in, day out until I'm 83. Is this the life I want or where I want to be? No, I'm nothing like the girls at home.
Marcus ran away from home when she was 18 and joined a traveling stagecoach tour of the hottest show of the time, HMS Pinafore, and that's how she got to Arizona. I spoke more about the show and Josie Marcus with Sheila Ray.
She ended up in Tombstone, which is a place she wanted to go because she had met earlier at a party in San Francisco a guy named John Behan, who was the sheriff of Tombstone. And she thought, oh boy, if I get to Tombstone, I get to see this guy again. And when she gets to Tombstone, she realizes what a creep he is. And she meets Wyatt Earp and falls in love with him and becomes his common law wife for 50 years. But that's only a very small segment of the story. The story is really about how this woman comes into Tombstone and all of the Earp wives, there were five Earp brothers, all of the wives, and Doc Holliday's mistress, Kate Harrany, how she intersects with them and actually destroys all the plans that they've made for being in Tombstone. They wanted to kind of come in and take over everything and run the show, and she occupies Wyatt Earp, and a big chunk of their plans gets destroyed.
Huh.
And so it's one of the Earp wives, Allie Earp, who is married to Jim Earp. And it's the story of Allie and Josie meeting again in very different circumstances in Los Angeles when films were being made about Wyatt Earp, and Josie's doing everything she can to protect his image. And Allie meets her on the set of one of these films that's being made and confronts her with the past.
So you describe her as a square peg in a round hole in San Francisco. Did she fit in any better in Tombstone?
She didn't fit in anywhere. She never fit in. She was a person who just didn't fit in, but she knew what she wanted. She wanted freedom. She wanted to be able to do what she wanted as a woman. That's why it's a very strong, it's got a strong feminist point of view to a degree, because this woman was so unusual in her time.
Why does the story appeal to you? Like, what led you to want to turn this into a musical?
Well, it's funny because actually when I met Dan Gordon, who wrote the movie Wyatt Earp, we had both had the same reaction to a photograph that supposedly was Josie Marcus. And it's a photograph of this woman who's kind of naked, and she's just kind of covered very gently by a black chiffon scarf that's kind of over her head and then kind of covering her body a little bit. And this photograph would be racy even now. I mean, if Madonna was doing this photograph, it would be really racy. So I had seen this photograph in a book called Pioneer Jews by Harriet Rocklin. And this book was called Pioneer Jews. And in the chapter called Humdingers, there's this picture of Josie Marcus. Well, Dan Gordon had seen the same picture. And it was kind of the impetus for him to research Wyatt Earp and write the movie that he did. So all us Earp people kind of have this same reaction, this visceral reaction to this incredible photograph of this young woman.
Well, so you do this as an all-female cast to tell the story. And I'm wondering, obviously you're telling the story of all these women, but there's also sort of some very well-known men involved, at least tangentially, in the story as well. How easy or difficult was it to tell this story with an all-female cast?
Getting it right took a while. We've been working on the show a long time in various incarnations, and we finally knew we had it right when no one said, well, where are the men? When critics stopped asking, where are the men? We knew that, you know, we finally had told the story in a way that's interesting to everyone without anybody missing the men being there. And the women do play the men at certain points. I don't want to, you know, spoiler alert, I don't want to ruin it for anybody who's going to come to see the performances. But I think that telling this story from a woman's point of view, particularly now, when women are still marginalized in many, many ways. And so it was important for us to kind of look at this from a female perspective and talk about the ways in which women were responsible for much of what happened in the settling of the American West.
So this performance is going to be part of a festival with a Phoenix Theater Company for new shows, new performances. What kind of importance do you place for a show like this on having this kind of outlet to show it?
Well, we're thrilled that we've been invited to participate. And we've wanted to do the show in Arizona since we conceived it. We've done it many places at this point because we've been working on it and developing it a long time, but to be able to do it in Arizona is a thrill for all of us. And this is called a Festival of New American Musicals, and this is definitely an American show. It's about how women settled this area of the West and what they were up against when they were there. And it really creates this world very completely, I hope that the audience will respond to it in that way and be pleased that they came and maybe learned a little something about American history that they didn't know already, even if they're Arizonans.
Right. And certainly learned something about Arizona history.
Absolutely. I learned a lot about Arizona history writing this, that's for sure.
I'll bet. I can't imagine the amount of research you had to do to get this right.
Oh, a lot of research. I mean, you can imagine, because I needed all of the backstories on these women.
Right.
And, you know, Tom and I spent a long time talking about what their psychology must have been to be brave enough to go off with these guys from more settled areas in Illinois and Kansas, and then come even, you know, to the West, which was really still the Wild West.
Right.
I mean, Geronimo hadn't surrendered yet. So, you know, it was wild out there.
All right, Sheila, thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for the conversation and good luck with the performances coming up.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Mark. Pleasure to talk to you.
The day that I met Wyatt, I saw kindness in his eyes. In a place as grim as Wichita, he sparkled like a prize. So I begged him to take me wherever he'd go.
Sheila Ray is the co-writer of The Bell of Tombstone, which will be performed this weekend as part of Phoenix Theater Company's annual Festival of New American Theater.
Again, in a heartbeat, I'd do it all again for him. And it's hard to explain why I live with this pain. Call me insane, but then I gotta say, I'd do it all again. I sacrificed my family.